Drawing room over here.
Are you on the list? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in. Here, have one of these.
Suitably lubricated. Tattoos. Tattooing. This is more than just an entry requirement to the hospitality trade. Tattooing has a centuries-old history. Really deep cultural practice, issues around identity. The Immigration Museum has a new exhibition which is exploring the art of tattoo, identity, self-expression, culture, community. It is called Our Bodies, Our Voices, Our Marks. And, well, there are two artists involved in that exhibition with me right now. Kip Fulbeck and Stanislava Pinchuk, they are going to tell us more about all of this. Welcome both.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Kip, you're a photographer, designer. Perseverance, Japanese tattoo tradition in a modern world is your work. Japanese tattooing is extraordinary, elaborate, exquisitely painful. An act of great determination.
Can be. That's actually the title of the exhibition. Perseverance is the closest we can get to the Japanese concept of gaman, which loosely translates as to persevere, but is more like to silently endure. And that's in reference to not only the clients that have to endure the pain of being tattooed, but also the tattooing art form, which has had to endure being suppressed by the Japanese government for decades.
Suppressed? Why?
It's still associated with the underground mafia or the Yakuza. And so from my experience, I can't even go to a gym. I can't join a health club. I can't go to a public bathhouse. I can't go to a public swimming pool because I won't be let in because of my tattoos.
And those tattoos, those Yakuza tattoos, that particular sort of styles and
well, it's a traditional Japanese tattooing, and calling it Yakuza tattoo is actually, it's a subset. I mean, some Yakuza get it, but it's a Japanese style. And people associate that with criminals. In reality, I photographed, 500 people for it. Maybe five of them were mafia.
Which, Stanislava, is a bit of an extension of a sort of a broader, Western attitude to tattoos as well. I mean, it's changed significantly in the last few decades, but previously it was a sign of you either in the merchant marine or you're a criminal. Somewhere in between.
Yeah, I mean, but also the West has really incredible ritual traditions as well, such as Croatian Catholic tattooing, that I think aren't talked about, and that's such a woman's craft as well, and there's so much about the particular history of women tattooing women, which I think is often erased and kind of, especially in the West, seen as very much a male practice, and a male-dominated shop practice. And I think what I've been interested in is kind of expanding the historical view of that.
That's fascinating. Tell us a bit more about that. I mean, I was entirely unaware of the world of Croatian woman-to-woman tattooing. Where does that come from? How old?
So it's a really old practice, and actually the images are pre-Christianic, and a lot of them have been carried over to have a double meaning with Catholicism. So kind of congregation lines and crosses, which were originally things like wind patterns, then became Christianic symbols. And when the Ottomans came through the Balkan states, the practice kind of intensified in a way, because boys were taken away into Istanbul and converted to Islam and became soldiers. Mm. They were tattooing their children, for example, to not forget the motherland, and sometimes poetically so, putting breast milk into the tattoo. So it was this real connection to the mother and this kind of DNA in the body of their religion, but also tattooing girls, and because tattooing is forbidden and, haram by the Quran. So it was kind of maybe a kind of linear designation of, Catholic practice and invading cultures. Yeah, it was a huge practice, and there are still many women who are tattooed, and it's sort of skipped the last few generations. And now there are young women getting the tattoos and bringing it back and kind of linking to their grandmothers, even if their mothers don't have that mark.
These ideas of recapturing that, all that self-expression, but that sort of sense of community, of belonging, is such a strong thing in tattooing. It is indelible. It marks you as a particular thing.
Certainly. I could not have done my work if I wasn't heavily tattooed in Japanese style. They would simply not trust me. I'd be seen as an outsider. What Stanislav was speaking about, one of my students was a Coptic Christian from Egypt, and he was tattooed with a crucifix on his hand to be able to get into church, because they would actually check them and wipe to see if it was fake or not to be able to allow them to come in. So it's much more about, sometimes it's a self-identifying feature, but oftentimes it's about being part of a group as well.
And in that Japanese sense, this is such a commitment. This is
enormous.
Months, if not years.
You could lose your job. You could lose ties to your family. When I photographed people around the world, it was the Japanese that had the most perfect pieces, because many Westerners, like myself included, have full suits that have mistakes in them. We started with something else. We changed our mind. We did this. We did that, because it wasn't as big a deal to start.
But what's the biggest mistake you had?
my sleeves are different lengths. You see my sleeves. They're about an inch different, because when I first started, I had a koi on my left forearm, never thinking I would get a sleeve. And then because it went so far down, when I sleeved it, they had to go quite further than I wanted to. That's where I was then.
What was it that sort of prompted you to go further? Like, you get that first koi, then what happens
then? Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an addiction. More, it's a sort of a relaxation and an understanding of what's going on and an appreciation for the depth of the work. So when you think of this, perseverance is about Japanese tattooing as an art form. And so when people think about woodblock printing, the hokusai wave, that's an art form. But they don't think about Japanese tattooing as an art form, even though it comes from the same traditions and folklore mythology as the woodblock prints.
Is this, for you, Stanislav, a similar experience? Have you made errors? Are there things on your body now that you regret?
Absolutely not. It's all who you are, and I can't imagine myself without it. Absolutely not. And also as an artist, because I'm not a tattooist by trade, I've never worked in a shop, I've never taken an appointment, I've never taken a cent for it for 10 years. I've just tattooed my friends in my space. For me as an artist, to tattoo, what I'm really interested in is the tension of the permanent mark, which is also not that permanent in the scheme of things.
Your work is delicate and has great beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to learn to do that is, that there's a particular skill there. Did you have to sort of feel your way into that?
Yeah, I mean, it has a really big correspondence to my art practice as drawings on paper, mm-hmm. Which are really methodical and really dot by dot. And in a sense, it's the same process. It's just putting ink on the end of the needle. So for me, it was really natural, actually, and to not tattoo with machines and tattoo by hand was such a natural extension of my art practice that it's always felt really kind of fluid to me. And I've always loved the tension of regret, maybe, and that it changes how you kind of think about images as an artist. And I've always been kind of bewildered why more artists aren't obsessed with this medium, because it carries so much tension.
Is the medium the body or the actual ink itself? What are we talking about there, do you think?
If anything, I guess I'm talking about the process, because it's so intimate and so electric, and it's full of pain and trust and suffering and kind of passing through the gate, and joy and euphoria and vulnerability and strength. It's a really incredible thing to go through with people.
We're talking tattooing because there is a new exhibition at the Immigration Museum in Melbourne, Our Bodies, Our Voices, Our Marks. Stanislav Pinchuk there and Kip Fulbeck with us. And Kip, that idea of pain, of tension, you have suffered a great deal of that.
Yeah, certainly.
End up where you are now.
Yeah, I remember someone asking me if we ever take any pain medication. Do you use lidocaine or these salves on your skin? I was like, there's no way. You have to earn it. And anyone that didn't do it would not be sort of respected for having gone through the same process everyone else did.
Where do you take yourself when that work is being done? What's your mental state?
When I got my back piece done in Japan, in Yokohama, typically a back piece would take about a year to 2 years. I had it done in 5 weeks because I went every day for 3 hours because I was trying to take off work and live there for the time. So my day was I would go and I would eat to get some energy, and then I would try and go into space and pretend I was fishing or pretend I was meditating or just try to get through the space as best I could, because it was, excruciating at times. But you can't stop them. You never stop them.
You could.
No, you can't. You can't and maintain the respect.
Because that's such an interesting aspect of it, is entering that sort of cultural territory of having earned that place through your suffering.
And you get better as a receiver as well. When I was first getting tattooed, when I was younger, I would start shaking and they would stop. They said I was shaking too much, and you get better at it.
This is a very sort of tattoo-y question, but worst place?
For me, the rear end by far. You wouldn't think, because you get shots from your doctor there, but there's a band of nerves there when it felt like I was being sliced open.
Oh, dear. Stanislav, for you?
My answer to this is always the same. I think what tattooing has taught me in 10 years is that pain is really psychosomatic. Some places objectively hurt more than others. Rear ends, feet, necks. Okay. I think it's so dependent on what you're doing that day. Are you tired? Are you hungover? Are you emotional? Are you menstruating? Some tattoos that shouldn't have hurt, I was screaming. And some tattoos I sat through for hours and didn't even realize they were over. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's such a magic part of tattooing.
What does that make you think about your mind and body?
I don't know. I think our bodies, as much as you think you know it, you never know it. And your body's such a wonderful thing that also reveals itself to you and surprises you. That's what tattooing kind of unlocks sometimes. But the one thing I will tell you after 10 years, and I wouldn't have believed it if you told me when I started, men and women are completely different.
In what way?
Women endure pain in such an incredible way.
I think we all knew that.
That's not news, yeah? Yeah. We're not very good at it.
And I've got to say, every woman I've tattooed that's given birth is just never needed a break, never flinched, never.
We cannot compete. We cannot.
You both take this with a degree of seriousness.
Absolutely.
As cultural or artistic practice and a combination of the two. I mean, tattooing is now so ubiquitous and clearly taken not with any great seriousness by a lot of people who get tattoos. Do you have a reaction to that, a sense of that?
Well, I think for Japanese tattooing, it's revered as an art form everywhere in the world except Japan. So except the country of its origin, they still look at you know, shibari or the erotic bondage, that's still looked as an art form everywhere, but it's still pushed away in Japan. They don't sort of respect it in the same way. With the Western style tattoos, there is a certain amount of overkill because it's everywhere now. You know, I think the last stat I heard in Melbourne, it's like one of every four people, one of every five people is tattooed. So it becomes something which is no longer setting you apart. In fact, it's probably more punk rock to have no tattoos than to have tattoos. But it also, there's very, very different levels of tattooing. People getting a single one-point piece off someone else's flash off the wall is very different from going on a journey and finding the Stanislava or finding the Horitoshi or finding the master you want to work on and developing a relationship with them and enduring that ceremony with them.
That's a hard thing to find, though. I mean, our world sort of is not geared to those sorts of relationships.
No, but you know what? I think it has to be natural. And I tattoo so many friends that would have never gotten a tattoo or walked in a shop. And it's only because it's been the right time and the right place and the right person. And you kind of go, you really go through it with them, you know? And I think it's not often spoken enough when people talk about pain is also how much the tattooist gives,
right?
You know, and what a labor it is for us physically and emotionally as well.
Describe that. That's an interesting aspect.
Like I said, you're really taking people through something. You're really taking people through an immense amount of adrenaline and permanent change. And, you know, I think that tattoos are ubiquitous now, to your question, is kind of not important to me in a way. And, you know, I really try and not judge what people do with their bodies in any capacity. But it also doesn't surprise me that it's become more and more acceptable, because I think it's just one of the most genuinely amazing connective things that we do as humans with each other and with our own bodies.
It's a relationship that develops. I think maybe for your listeners that are not tattooed themselves, you can compare it in some ways to a massage, a very deep massage, that there is a sort of relationship that if you are fighting the massage and not accepting it, it's going to be much more hard for the therapist to get in where they need to get to. And it sort of becomes this energy exchange between the two people. And so I think when she's speaking about there is a communication that happens between the tattooer and the client that is both directions.
Mm. It must be extraordinary, Stanislava, to receive that faith, to have that person's confidence.
You know, a lot of people I've tattooed have never been to a shop before, and they'll likely never be tattooed by anyone else again. But we have an ongoing relationship, and I get to tattoo their whole body. And, you know, we just check in every couple of years. And some tattoos are really instant. Some tattoos I'm talking to friends about now for 5 years, 7 years, and they'll be done when they have a natural ending or when that story arc in their life ends or when they move locations. And that's really beautiful.
It must be extraordinary too, perhaps to extend, I mean, this is before you, but to extend that over a life to perhaps in 30, 40 years with that aging skin of that older body.
Absolutely. And I think Kip is really on the same page with me, is a lot of people tend to think of the tattoo is the second that it's done, you know, and that's how it exists as a photo and as a documentation. But actually, your tattoo isn't static, and it takes on all these forms throughout your life, and it's really alive and reactionary and responsive and gets bruised and sunburnt and damaged and cut into, and that's its final form.
And dies.
And it dies, yeah.
You know, I really thought that the Zen idea of these masters that might work for 200 or 300 hours on their masterpiece, and as soon as it leaves, it's out of their hands, and it can go to a tanning booth or go get hit by a bus, or they may never see it again. It's a really interesting idea.
That's because there is such a determination in that art. It is such a...
But it's completely fleeting. You know, it's never there. It's never the same.
Beautiful thought to end. Thank you both. And this, I think there's a great inspiration there to go and see this work at the Immigration Museum. It's there in Melbourne, and you have plenty of time if you're not in town, in Melbourne until 6 October. And the exhibition's called Our Bodies, Our Voices, Our Marks. And participating in that, artists Kip Fulbeck and Stanislava Pinchuk. And they've been my guests. Tonight's Drawing Room, their work will be there.